Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, right. Okay. Do you get dressed up? This is we're coming up on Halloween. You're of the age group, right? You guys love Halloween, don't you? You've turned it into the second most popular holiday in all of holidays, right? Yeah. You still get dressed, go to parties, yeah. Play all those drinking games. Ah, those were the days, huh? You have a costume? Yeah, please, if you're going to go out and you're going to do something, think. Don't just, put on some goofy makeup and then say I'm this. Think about it. That's the one thing. I was never a big Halloween party guy, but when I did go, I put thought into it and was always very proud of my costumes. So anyway, all right, here we go, my friend. Three S's, star, smile, strong. Episode 440, 440, put it down. Are you ready to go? I am. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. There we are. See what I did there? If you listen regularly, I usually say, we are there. But, you don't want to get into a rut. But yes, we are there and have been for the last 8 going on 9 years. And those of you who have been with us, thank you for listening. And now the job ahead of you is to get out there and recruit. Just like the Army, we need some fresh bodies. So get out there, talk to your friends, talk to your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast, and tell them that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Also, of course, regular or new listeners may want to always go back and hear what we've talked about in the past. Always good to hear where we've been so you know where we're going. So you go to WGNradio.com, you hit the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and there you are. Scroll down, load more. Welcome to episode 440. 440. We always like numbers that end in fives and zeros. Here's yet another one. Episode 440, which means we only have 60 to go to the magic number of 500. I think that's a pretty impressive number. I'm not always that impressed with numbers, but I would say 500 is a pretty impressive number, wouldn't you? So we're 60 away, so that means we're about 60 weeks away, which is a year, and 8 weeks away. So that's a year and 2 months. So how about that? So a year and 2 months from right now. So we might be hitting the 500 mark sometime in early 26, or even potentially, perhaps, late 2025. We'll see how that works out. I'm no mathematician, but that seems to be the way it should work, right? 8 weeks plus 52 weeks is 60. We're at 440. 440 plus 60 is 500. So 60 weeks from today. So we might be right over the new year. Might even be my birthday show. My birthday is in the first week of January, so who knows? Wouldn't that be an interesting and fun little birthday present to get? But that's far off in the distance. We still have some time. till 500. We just keep come plowing through. Just keep plowing through, doing the work, showing up every week. I'm showing up on this end. You show up on that end. That's the deal. That's the compact. That's the contract. That's the goal. All right? And where the number goes, nobody knows. How's that? Okay. So, when this podcast posts, it will be Halloween week. Halloween this week. This podcast should be posting on the 28th of October. So this is Halloween week. Certainly, you either have been to or might be going to one post-Halloween party. Who knows? Could possibly happen that way. Some people might be throwing Halloween parties actually on the day. That's Thursday. That's a party day. And certainly, why couldn't you throw a Halloween party on either the first or ideally the second on a Saturday? A lot of Halloween parties might already be happening. They may have happened just this past weekend on the 26th, but I wouldn't say it would be too far out of the acceptable range to have a Halloween party on November 1st or November 2nd, certainly on the day, Thursday. So, but we are in the midst of it. I have talked on many occasions about Halloween on this podcast through the years. I've talked about some of my favorite Halloween costumes that I've had over the years and my favorite Halloween traditions or memories of going out and trick-or-treating and things like that. To be honest with you, I haven't really, in my adult time, I have not really dressed up a lot and gone to a lot of Halloween parties. A few, yes, but not one every year. That whole Halloween thing, as far as adults really getting into it, that started a little past my time. That really started with a generation of people, at least I would say, 15 years younger than me, if not even more. That seemed to rise out of the growth of the comic books and the superheroes, and I say this with all due respect, as much respect as the word can have, but when the nerd culture began to rise, which was probably more than 20 years ago, if you look at the rise of, say, the Big Bang Theory show, which celebrated nerddom, if you will, with kind of the lead characters being adults, but yet clinging to their childhood, traditions and likes and hobbies. All those main characters in the Big Bang, for instance, were all very smart, intelligent, well-educated, and well-employed people. But at the same time, they loved going to the comic book store. They had figurines. They played Risk, and they played different games. They were man boys, if you will. And I think that's where the whole, redefinition of Halloween as far as an adult, because you have to redefine what adult means in this age anyway, too. There's some people that are 50 that still don't want to be adults. There are people that are 30 that think that, I acted like an adult this weekend. I did blah, blah, blah. So there's still this weirdness about the adult. People in today's culture don't want to grow up. There's always been a fear about growing old. Every generation since the beginning of time with humans has dreaded getting old and dreading facing their mortality. There's a difference between getting old and growing up. We all grow old. Many of us don't grow up. Put that on a card. Put that on a t-shirt. Put that on a little rock in your yard. There's some truth to that. There's I remember saying that to somebody about 20 years ago. And right off the top of my head, and I remember she went, "Oh, well, that's kind of true." Yeah, we grow old, but we all grow old, but we all don't grow up. But I think the growth of the when the comic book and the graphic novel and all that kind of comic book sci-fi boom started 20, maybe even 25 years ago, really. That's when, you know, when all the costume and all the comic cons became huge pop culture events. Those had been around for years, but they were always very small and niche kind of events. And then when comic books and cosplay, as it's called, costume play, people in this generation who have been grown up on a camera having pictures taken of them, and then of course once the smartphone came along, taking pictures of themselves. Well, there's nothing better than dressing up in a costume, and so I think that's now going to be a part of the pop culture forever, because we've just got generations now that are used to taking pictures of themselves, used to wanting to tell the world to look at me, and Halloween is a perfect example for even the closet narcissist to be able to step out and say, "Look at me," and not be judged or criticized. So I think Halloween, in terms of a pop culture holiday, is not only in the realm right now. I think based because of the way our culture and our behavior has changed over the last 15 or 20 years, Halloween will continue to be an adult holiday as much as a kid's holiday. When I was growing up, back in my day, yeah, you know, we went trick-or-treating up to a certain point, and then it didn't become cool. It wasn't cool to get dressed in a costume anymore and go trick-or-treating. When I was growing up, that was associated with being a little kid. You almost looked forward to growing out of it, which comes with maturity. As I said, I think we've got, you know, a couple of generations here that are trying to hold off maturity as much as they can, and then they find themselves 50 years old, and when you've got the crow's feet and the gray hair, you better, I hope you grow up. That's a whole other topic, but that's part of this. The reason that Halloween has become such a huge pop culture holiday now is because we have a generation that loves to have attention on itself and loves to take pictures of itself. And as I said, Halloween was made for the narcissist. And we are in a narcissist culture right now, and probably will be for a long time, unless somebody comes around and finds something that makes the smartphone and the camera not cool anymore, or social media not cool anymore. That can happen. That's possible. But I don't see it happening anytime soon. And so there's no question that Halloween has been elevated in its standing. It used to be a little kid's holiday. And as soon as you became a teenager, you sort of, you know, and then it got to be even kind of sad, because some teenagers, you know, still didn't want to give up because they got that free candy. You don't underestimate the lure of free candy on someone's behavior either. So I think a lot of kids, teenagers, they didn't want, it wasn't cool to dress up, but for some reason or some way in their mind, they were able to reconcile or justify the fact that I don't want to give up trick-or-treating completely because I really like the free candy. I don't want to look like I'm like not cool by dressing up, because that's not cool once you become a teenager. And when you're a teenager, what, you know, the impression and the image that you put out to the world, and especially to your peers and your friends, is the most important thing on earth. Now that's changed once again. Social media and the smartphone changed all that. People just do what they want to do, and they don't care whether they look foolish or act foolish. That even helps to some extent with your brand. But a lot of teenagers. It was actually kind of sad because you'd see these. You know, 14 or 15 or even 16-year-old kids still knocking on your door, but they didn't want to, you know, for asking for the free candy, but they wouldn't, but they had their image to uphold because it wasn't cool at that time for a teenager to get dressed up anymore. And so they didn't dress up, but they still rang your doorbell and gave, you know, and put out the bag and said, and didn't even say trick or treat, because that, of course, was associated with being a little kid. So they would just ring the doorbell and stand there in all their awkward, trying to be cool state, hold the bag out like some rebel, even though this rebel was ringing your doorbell asking for free candy, not exactly Marlon Brando or James Dean in the rebel category, but in their mind they were, because they didn't say trick or treat and they didn't have a costume on. So I'm still cool and I'm still a rebel, and I'm just going to put my bag out and just, you know, hand it out to you like, what, aren't you doing it? You know, I remember one kid said that to me. I opened the door and I saw this teenager, and he opens the door and he shoves his bag at me, and he goes, "What, ain't you doing it?" And I just looked at him. I said, "Not for you." And I closed the door. And after that, I never opened the door again for any trick-or-treater. Call me bah humbug, whatever you want to call me. But I've said this many times in the podcast. On Halloween, all the lights are off in our house. The doorbell rings and we don't answer it. I'm sorry. I had way too many teenagers coming to my door looking for, you know, and I'm sorry that I have to, you know, ruin it for the little kids who enjoy the trick or treating and they all get dressed up and everything. I'm sorry. But, you know, when he opened the door, I don't have a peephole in the front of my door. I can't tell who's there. I don't have a ring bell. So I open the door and I get surprised. And so I'm not going to open my in this day and age too. I'm not going to open my door to a stranger. And this is not just anything new. You say, "Gee, man, you're an old man." I've been doing this for 20 years, more than that. Going, "No, I'm sorry." That one teenager who acted so cocky and so privileged that I'm supposed to give him candy. I mean, why doesn't he come over to my house on August 24th with a bag and looking for free candy too? Am I supposed to give him free candy then too? I mean, no, the whole idea of Halloween and trick-or-treating was, you know, little kids get dressed up and you give them some candy, and oh, isn't that cute? Not teenagers that aren't even dressed in a costume. They just hand a bag out looking for free candy. How about a little something for the effort, huh? A little effort here. But I am, you know how my rules are. I got a lot of rules, and one rule is, no more open the door for trick-or-treaters. Sorry, little kiddies. Sorry. But yell at the teenager from about 25, 30 years ago who ruined it for you. I'll never forget him. "What, aren't you doing it?" "No, not for you. Thanks. Bye." No. What is that? Some stranger comes to my house with a bag looking for some free stuff? Well, what is that? When you know... It's one thing, this little kid dressed up as a skeleton or a witch. Okay, fine. But a teenager with a bag looking for something free, I don't know what the heck he wants. And I'm not taking a chance. Geez, Jim, you're a Halloween humbug. Maybe. But sorry. But anyway, so yeah, it's so, but ever since then, now teenagers, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 40-somethings, 50-somethings, all dress up It's a part of their world. And of course, celebrities have jumped on it. So now it's a thing. It's a thing. There used to be Halloween parties, and of course you dress up to those. I got invited to some of those, but there weren't even that many when I was in my 20s and 30s, to be honest with you. It really just wasn't a thing. We grew out of that. There was a time where you sort of grew out of things, but as I said, in the last 30 years or so, our culture has become so youth-oriented and teen-oriented. And non-adult oriented, that things that we did as a little kid, most adults in today's world, the 30 or 40 or even 50 somethings, never grew out of that. They have maintained all of their likes and behaviors from teenage life and just extended them into their adulthood, or what should be their adulthood. But as I say so many times on the podcast, that actually is not what I want to talk about. Now, this time, last week, I told you, I went off on a rant about, you know, not having right at the beginning of the podcast. And I told you, if you listened last week, halfway through my discussion, almost at the end of this first part of the discussion, I didn't even figure out how I got there. And after I recorded the podcast from last week, I did go back and listen to say, how did I get on that tangent about why aren't there licenses or more restrictions or more requirements to fly a plane or drive a boat or drive a U-Haul truck or some other or a motorcycle? Other than a car, it seems that we don't really have many restrictions or limitations or requirements to drive these potentially dangerous and in many cases fatal machines. So I went back and listened, and it was funny. I got on that topic because I didn't even finish my thought. Go back and listen to last week's, and you'll see. I was talking about. I said, hey, I just made a very simple comment, starting the podcast by saying, oh, we're wings up. We're airborne. Our the new podcast has started. We're up in the air. And then I said, there's nothing like that feeling of when you're in a plane and the wheels just lift off. That first lift off is such a cool sensation. And I was beginning to say, you know, first, you're driving fast down the runway, and then all of a sudden you feel the nose of the plane go up, and then the back wheels go up, and suddenly there's that initial light feeling of that lift, and it's just like, ooh, you could feel that. I didn't even get a chance to finish that little thought, how we're airborne and how much I like that initial little lift feeling, because I started to talk about you're running down the, you know, you're going down the runway real fast before that little lift happens. And then I was saying, I wonder how fast you go. Like how fast is the plane going on its wheels before it takes that little lift off? I wonder how fast the plane has to go and what speed it has to reach. And then all of a sudden it lifts off. I didn't even get to that point because then I said, as I started to say, boy, there's nothing like running down that highway, that runway fast. I wonder how fast it goes. You know, and then I went off to, you know, I've always thought about flying, but I never did. And then off I went. So I wanted to tell you, I really like that little moment when the wheels leave the ground, that lift part. That's all I was getting at. And I went into a half hour about flying a plane, driving a boat, driving a U-Haul. Wow, did that taper off? And I even admitted many times, I will say that even though I go off on tangents, I always find a way to bring it back. But that was so off the track of what I wanted to talk about last week, which was the pumpkin fatigue, that I couldn't even figure a way to somehow dotted line back to what I was going to talk about the pumpkin spice, starting about that. Now, this time I can. I started talking about Halloween, and that's what I'm talking about. not the main topic. I'm not talking about why we still dress up and why Halloween's become an adult, more of an adult holiday than it used to be. In my day, as I said, by the time you were in fourth or fifth grade, you kind of stopped dressing up. It just wasn't cool. But now you're 45 and people are like, what are you for Halloween? Totally different culture, behavior, mindset, perspective. Completely different. Totally influenced by things that didn't even exist 40 or 50 years ago. It's the natural progression, I guess, of where things are from where they were and what's happened to influence them. But I am talking about Halloween. So there is a good dotted line here. And it does play into this whole idea of how Halloween has become elevated into a kids and adult holiday, as opposed to what it used to be was a kids holiday. But now it's a kids and adult holiday. And one of the things, the kids still enjoy dressing up and going out trick-or-treating. What the adults enjoy is dressing up and going to a party. So, as I said before, the kids and the adults, there's a thin line between maturity these days. A lot of the same interests that kids have, today's adults in their 20s and 30s and 40s and, yes, even 50s still have. But before the cosplay, before all the costuming of the last 30 years, before all that, what was happening over the last 20 years, too, was that adults were getting into it, maybe not so much with the costumes, but they were getting into it with the decorations. And suddenly, I mean, obviously, for the most part, in terms of house decorations, it was always Christmas. We all know that. Over the last, I would say, 25 years, certainly, you'll now drive down houses and see just as elaborate, and in some cases even more elaborate, outside decorations for Halloween that you do for Christmas. Usually it was relegated to Christmas. That's when people, for whatever holidays, when people decorated. There are these places called Candy Cane Lane, where all the houses on a block used to, in many neighborhoods, at least in Chicago, and the suburbs, would all agree to decorate their homes with lights and figurines and different things, and Santas and reindeers and candy canes and nativity scenes and everything that meant the holidays, lit up especially in order to create this beautiful kind of light display in the evening for people to drive around and watch or to look at. But what you're now seeing, when you drive down neighborhood streets, and you've been seeing this, is the elaborate displays for Halloween. So I think that was kind of a way for the adults to sort of creep into, like about 20 or 30 years ago, they weren't sure if they could dress up yet. You know, there would still have been a stigma to the dressing up thing about 25, 30 years ago as for an adult, or an adult of that time. Because it still was a little while before the younger people who never want to grow up, the Peter Pans, brought this whole kind of never get old, never grow up mentality into our culture. And now they dress up like Halloween for Halloween, just like they did when they were seven. It took a few years for that to happen. So I think that there was this little transition period from when, say, the people of my generation who we said, okay, well, we don't really do all that much Halloween stuff anymore. We will open the door for the kids and give them a trick and treat. Not me. But but we won't dress up, and we don't, that, you know, that's the past. But then the 20-something and 30-something of that time was getting a little more influenced by the times that this idea of staving off maturity was beginning to settle in to stave off adulthood as long as possible, to keep away responsibility as much as you could as your life went on, that was beginning to inch into the culture. It wasn't completely widespread and it wasn't completely accepted yet, but it was inching in as things were changing in the culture, especially because of the computer and the internet. Once again, as I say many times, you cannot underestimate the cultural shift that that internet has done to our culture. You can argue about its benefits or its negativity and its, the impact, but you cannot deny the influence one way or the other, whether you like it or not. The influence has been there. We can debate the positive versus the negative influences of the internet, but you cannot debate the influence it's had in general. And so that's why I think that around 30 years ago, because that's where we're at now, pretty much, where the computer, the internet, is almost, in terms of people really embracing it and using it in a mass way. It was happening in the early 90s, mostly to people in the tech world, some in the corporate world, but not, but and even if it was in the corporate world, it was only at work. It wasn't transferred to home. But by the mid 90s, because of the rise of the personal computer and the laptop computer, you were bringing work home. You were getting used to emailing suddenly for work, and then that expanded, and that's where you started to get your AOLs and your Prodigies and your Yahoos and your Googles in the mid-90s. So we're 30 years now from that. The internet, in terms of a mass, it's older than that. I understand that, the origins and the use, I get that. But I'm talking about mass use, critical mass around the globe, certainly in the United States. It was the mid to late 90s. So we're almost at a 30-year mark on that. And I think that's where you can really start to see where the culture changed. You know, if you look back 30 years ago, that's when the culture changed. And it was beginning to change in the late 90s. But then by the early 2000s, that hint of those changes began to take hold. And that's why I said that I would say the last 25 years certainly has been a huge shift with the popularity of the internet, the development of social media, and then, of course, just 7 years after that, in 2007, you get the smartphone, and then all bets are off. It's a completely new world. You can trace that, I think, and see where Halloween became more of an adult-oriented, well, let's say not oriented, but adult-shared holiday. It's always been a kid's holiday, but now it's a kid's and adult's holiday. It really has shifted in that way. And so adults began to sort of flex their muscle to sort of to get a piece of Halloween back that they lost, because it wasn't cool when you for a while to be into Halloween, and now suddenly it was starting to get cool again. There was a cool factor around it because of the internet and people, you know, in small niches who still kind of like to do things like that but didn't want to tell anybody, but now they found a new universe. And suddenly it found its way into the culture. So I think where we're at now, where adults are fully into Halloween with costumes and everything, adults started to at least get to take back a little bit of Halloween by their outdoor displays. And then I think through that, it just started to evolve back. And now it's full blown. And this was also a way for the parents to bond with their kids. Now everybody, you know, now families will do a whole theme together. You know, before, your parents said, "What do you want to be for Halloween?" now the question is, with most young couples, what do we want to be for Halloween? And we get to take a picture of the family in our themed outfit and we put it on social media. It's a whole different world, whole different thing. If I would have thought, I mean, to think about me and my parents sitting down at the kitchen table and deciding what were we going to be for Halloween this year? I can't even imagine it. I can't even imagine the conversation of me sitting down with my mom and dad and say, okay, guys, so what do we want to be this year? Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine it. My dad would have gotten up and walked off the way from the table. My mom would have probably entertained it for about 10 minutes and said, you know, come on. And I would have been there like, what? Different times, different people's different perspectives. No doubt about that. Oh, just the thought of that cracks me up. But we have now seen the outdoor Halloween display take on a much more prominent view. And you drive through any neighborhood in wherever you live, and you will see a variety. Some blocks get crazed, just like at Christmas time. And you'll see some blocks do, depending, once again, I think probably on, you know, if there's kids involved in the homes. Homes with kids seem to be more, involved in the entire Halloween thing. Not only the costumes, but the decoration of the house, just like Christmas, you know. Excuse me. So sometimes, depending on what your neighborhood looks like, your block, you could have every house on the block has some kind of Halloween display, and there's some blocks that don't, depending, I think, you know, on either the age of the people living there or if they have kids or not and things like that. But they certainly are getting elaborate. My gosh, if you go to the department stores, the big box stores like, you know, Target and things like that, and Walmart, I mean, not only do they have the Halloween items out early by late August or early September, but if you don't go there in the first week, if you're not there by the first week of September or the first couple weeks of September, forget about it. It's gone. Everybody has bought all the skulls and witches and ghosts and whatever they had that year, all the Jack Skellingtons, whatever. They are gone. It looks like a tornado went through there. I mean, this stuff is being bought up. People are into Halloween. There is no doubt about that. And it's not just kids. It's adults. I mean, the shelves, they're empty. You certainly can't go by mid-October. That, by then, is ridiculous. You got to go like the first or second week of September if you want to get anything of any choice and get any of the good stuff that they might have out there, either new stuff or old stuff. So there's no question that the Halloween displays are as popular as ever and getting as elaborate, if not more elaborate, than the Christmas decorations. And we've seen some Christmas decorations, I'm sure you have. These even have TV shows, right, where they have these competitions where all these houses have all the lights. But I'll tell you, there is just as many, well, not just as, I mean, I shouldn't say that, but there are a good number of houses that go just as crazy for Halloween and have some amazing displays with the lights and the ghosts and whatever it is out in that front lawn. Christmas, I think, will always be the one. But Halloween is coming up a close second. And you know, once again, because of my no trick-or-treat edict, you know, I have a lot of edicts. Because of my no trick-or-treat edict, I don't really decorate the outside of the house all that much, because that's kind of a sign to the trick-or-treaters, the young ones at least, that, you know, we're not really going to do that. At least that's what I think, that if, I would think that if, you know, there's a house that doesn't have any Halloween decorations on it, that you should probably assume that they're not going to be trick-or-treating. But kids still come to the house. I don't blame them. Hey, free candy's free candy, right? Free candy! Great line from the Seinfeld episode. Free candy! But at the dealership. But so we don't, I don't really do a lot of big stuff for Christmas. I do a few little things on the outside, but not anything big. It's mostly, you know, the wreath on the door and something in the window and the lights from the tree and things like that. But we really don't do anything from, I put a couple of little fake pumpkins in the little flower beds in the front of the windows, but that's it. There are small little pumpkins too. It's just for it to say, hey, I realize it. And it's more of a fall. It's more, I'm more of an autumnal guy than I am a Halloween guy. So for me with the pumpkins, it's not a jack-o'-lantern. See, I think there's a difference here. Of course, I've got rules for that, right? jack-o'-lanterns are Halloween. Pumpkins are fall and autumn. I have small, undecorated fake pumpkins that are in the flower beds. So I'm celebrating fall, not Halloween. If I had a jack-o'-lantern, if I had a carved pumpkin face somewhere, or a witch, or a skeleton, or a ghost, something like that, then I certainly would be celebrating Halloween, and that would be a legitimate invitation to come up to my house for the trick and or treat. But with my autumnal, undecorated fake pumpkins that are small and just sitting in the flower beds, I am more acknowledging and celebrating in a subtle way the shift from summer to fall and celebrating the autumn more than Halloween. I thought about this stuff, folks. Believe me, I have. So, but there's no question. Now, in the genesis of the Halloween front yard decorations, I would say initially what you saw were those inflatables. They still have those inflatables, you know, at Christmas time as well. And now they have them for Halloween. Because once again, Halloween has grown in terms of an outdoor decoration business. So now they have the inflatables. And you saw the giant spiders and the ghosts and the giant pumpkins that either were smiling or mean or an inflatable witch. And you saw those inflatables. And then, of course, initially you saw back 30, 25 years or so ago, it started, I would say, with the webs, the webs outside, you know, the fake webs on the bushes and the windows, and then the webs became more elaborate, and they started hanging, you know, from the doorways and from the tops of the buildings, and of course, you know, you start to see more of the windows decorated with pumpkins or lights and something, and the houses started to get that little eerie kind of Halloweenish feel. But then there were those big inflatables that were very cartoony, you know, and then but they were offset, you know, like the big spider was very cartoony, but it was still pretty impressive. These big inflatable spider that a lot of times would sit on the top of your roof, at least overhanging your door, or some of these big inflatables on the grass. And it started that way, and that was the kind of the way it was for a couple of years, with, you know, the fake webs, you know, a few pumpkins and these inflatables. But then I've noticed, especially over the last couple of years, and that's why I'm here, folks, to observe and to identify and recognize some of the new trends happening. And maybe you would start to recognize these too. Or maybe you've already do these. But as a non-Halloween decorator, at least I'm more of an observer. I'm driving around through different places on major streets, in neighborhoods, and I'm always observing what's out there and what's around and what people are putting up. I'm still a kid at heart. I just don't advertise it as much as I used to. So I'm always interested to see how people are doing it. Some people have some really clever outdoor decorations, very well thought out, very well placed. And some people are very haphazard and they don't really have as, they don't put as much thought or they don't have much, as much creativity. And it just looks like a hodgepodge. And that's pretty much what happens at Christmas too. You could see there's some people that are very invested in it. They really thought this out and they've spent some money and they spent some time and they have some really cool, clever, creative, displays that are worth stopping your car to look at. And then there are other kind of obligatory ones that just, we've got the pumpkins and the corn stalks and the, you know, the scarecrows and, you know, a couple of witches here, maybe a cauldron there, you know, but it's not like well thought out. It's a hodgepodge of a lot of stuff. These days, I don't even see a lot of the inflatables very much anymore, which is what I want to get to, which is my main point. I'm getting there, folks. Just hang in there. I have noticed over the last couple of years in these yard displays, these front yard displays, a shift from the inflatables to more elaborate, impressive, huge, constructed figurines, big figures. About 2 or 3 years ago, all of a sudden I'm driving down the street. Maybe it was you longer, but I don't think so. There was like a 12-foot Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas, the Disney film, the Tim Burton film from 1993. Once again, what did I tell you? 30 years ago. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Skellington is now a major figure of Halloween for a Gen X millennial. There's no question. Jack Skellington. Whether they saw the movie and liked it or not, Jack Skellington is a really cool looking character, and he has personified Halloween. And if you go to any store, there's a ton of Nightmare Before Christmas, Jack Skellington stuffed dolls and ornaments and now, as I said, huge, like 12-foot yard displays of a giant, I would assume it's plastic. It's supported on your grass of Jack Skellington. Very cool, very intimidating. I think the eyes even lit up. And I saw those all over the place. So it wasn't a huge departure or a huge move forward then if Jack Skellington is now the millennial Halloween superstar. We're getting away from the inflatables, which were kind of a easy entree into the Halloween front yard decoration, movement in, you know, the late 90s or early 2000s. But now what's available for people is much more sophisticated, much more impressive, much bigger, I'm sure much more expensive, but also it's much more attuned to what? Look at me. I mean, if you've got a 12-foot Jack Skellington on your front yard, I have to look at it. It's hard not to. It all goes back to the narcissism of look at me. Now it's look at my house. Because my house is an extension of me. So if you stop and look at my house decorations, you're looking at me. If you're stopping to take a picture of my house decorations and say, look at this display that I saw down the street somewhere and put it on your social media, in my mind, that's as good as a like and a view on my page. It all comes back to the narcissism that is now dominating our society. But it only makes sense that if Jack Skellington, who's a animated skeleton, cool looking, created by Tim Burton, it only makes sense that the next step forward, if I like Jack Skellington, I probably like skeletons. And I don't know about you, but the last several years on front lawns, I'm not seeing pumpkins. I'm not seeing spiders. I'm not seeing the inflatables all that much. But what I am seeing are skeletons. Human skeletons, skeletons of dogs, skeletons of animals, skeletons of dinosaurs, but skeletons in all different configurations. Sometimes they're to be scary, sometimes they're to be impressively big that you can't not notice them. And what even more interestingly enough is that a lot of the skeleton displays now for Halloween on people's front lawn are skeletons in funny or ironic positions. So you'll see a skeleton sitting on a lawn chair or whatever. But you'll see skeletons now in different positions and in different contexts to get a laugh, not so much to be scary. Initially, it was scariness. Now, it seems to be more impressiveness, like, wow, not the scary, but wow, holy cow, look at that. And it's more about, oh, look at the skeletons. You know, he's hitchhiking, or that skeleton is running, or that skeleton, you know, they put the skeletons in funny positions, ironic positions to get a laugh. As I said, they'll put him in lawn chairs, or they'll put him in reclining chairs, or they'll put him in a car. I mean, and they put them in real life situations. But they're skeletons. And some of them are really clever. Well, I went to a friend of mine's house a couple of weeks ago. And as I said now, so over the last couple of years, they had the big, like 12, it's got to be at least 12 feet, that Jack Skellington with the light up eyes. And I saw that 2 or 3 years ago. And if I drive down the same places sometimes that I usually routinely drive down all the time, come you know, the Halloween time, there it is again. I mean, my God, if you bought that thing, I would love to know how much that 12-foot Jack Skellington costs. And that can't be easy to put up either. I mean, it has to have supports. It's big. It's not a blow-up. It's got to be plastic. But I would love to know what kind of box it comes in, how many pieces it comes in. How the hell do you put it up? But it's not a big jump to go from Jack Skellington to skeletons. And so now I'm seeing many more displays on front people's on the front lawns of people, all purely skeletons, some funny, some a little scary, but most of them jaw-dropping, no pun intended, with the skeleton, like, holy cow. They've got 12-foot giant skeletons standing in front of their house. I saw this house by my neighbor's, by my friend's house, and their neighbors across the street. They had the 12-foot skeleton. It was a corner house, too, so they had some room. They had a lot of grass. They had the 12-foot skeleton. Then, on one side of the house, as I said, it was a corner house. Then on the other side where the front door is,
They had two giant skulls on each side of their walkway. And I'm not talking about little skulls. I'm talking about like 6 feet high skulls on each side of the walkway. Impossible not to see them. They had skeletons hanging from the windows. It was just a skeleton theme. But I have to tell you, I was blown away by one of the skeletons. The skeleton heads looked like, I don't know how much you know about the, if you, you know the Easter Island heads, you know, those big heads, these prehistoric heads that are on Easter Island, that they're right in the ground and they're sticking out. Little did they know that they're not just heads, they're whole bodies. The bodies were buried underneath the ground over time. Everybody said, wow, this is some great unknown message that prehistoric people left us, just the heads looking this way. And then somebody finally, like 10 years ago, decided to say, "What? Maybe there's something underneath." And then, yeah, there's whole bodies there. But that's a whole other subject. But look up Easter Island. The Easter Island heads are not just heads, they're whole bodies. But these giant skulls on these people's houses, you know, that they on each side of their walkway were huge. But the coolest thing they had, you can't help but be impressed by this 12-foot this skeleton, you know, on the one side of the house, or these giant skulls lining the walkway. It's impossible not to stop and go, holy cow. But the coolest skeleton that they had, that I actually, and I'm not a Halloween decorator, right? But when I saw this, I was tempted to look up online to say, where the hell do I get one of those? It was so cool. It was a half a skeleton from the rib cage up, sitting on the grass, making it look like it was buried and coming out of the ground. Halfway through, from the rib cage up, huge, but just from the rib cage up. So you had the grass, and then you had this appearance of the skeleton that was buried halfway in, and also coming out halfway by the ribs into the head and the hands, and that looked really cool. So cool that I was tempted to say, now that I would put on my grass. That was cool looking. I don't even know if I have enough room for it, to be honest with you. Because as I said, they had a corner house. They had a lot of grass to fill. But that thing was cool. But I've been driving around different neighborhoods, noticing, and I'm seeing more and more skeleton-based displays. So clearly 2024 is the year of the skeleton. So much so. Now, well, the funny thing is, I don't know if this was through osmosis or not, but I've had many years in the house. We decorate with some little Halloween stuff in the house just for us, not outside. I do have a skull, and I have like the skeleton hand, just the palm, just the hand that we can put on the mantle. It's kind of cool looking, just like the hand sitting there and the fingers lean over the mantle. But so this year, I don't know if I've been influenced by this growing number of skeleton displays that are humorous and clever. I don't know if I was influenced by that or not, or just thought of it myself. But so, you know, sitting on one of the tables in my house is the skull that I have out for thanks, you know, for Halloween in the house to decorate a little. And I said, well, you know what would be funny? I've got a pair of Elton John's glasses. Let me put a pair of the pair of glasses on the skeleton's head, on the skull, and call him Skelton John. So right now I have a Skelton John, and if you go on my Facebook page and scroll down, you'll see my Skelton John. Now the funny thing is that was not a new idea, this idea of Skelton John in my mind. I remember being in fifth grade. I still have it. I'm going to dig it up
and I think I'm going to take a picture of it and put it on my Facebook page. I think I was in fifth or sixth grade. I'm a huge Elton John fan at the time. That's when it started. And we had to, as an assignment for art class, we had to come up with an album cover, design our own album cover. And so obviously now I'm totally into Elton. And so I came up with this idea of Skeleton John. And so my album cover was of a skeleton in a graveyard playing the piano with glasses and a top hat and a cape, just like Elton used to wear at that time. So my idea of Skeleton John has been around for many, many years. I have just updated him a little now with my skull and glasses. But I have now been, obviously, either subliminally or directly influenced by all the skeleton displays that I'm seeing. So it seems that at least in 2024, this is the year of the skeleton. Make no bare bones about it. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 440. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your ears. Or is it Skeleton Jim? Ha, 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 ha.